Welcome, everyone, to episode 277 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to talk about the New York Knicks, who have, to no one's surprise, devolved into a heaping mess of dysfunction, only 10 games into the season. We're also, unfortunately, going to hit on some big injuries. They just kept piling on Monday. So we're going to hit Gordon Hayward, Chris Middleton, and De'Aaron Fox, what they mean for their respective teams and how they're going to be missed while they're out. Before we get into that, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian. I'm a little confused, though. Because I'm looking at a guy like Luka Doncic, who's right now averaging 28 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. And I'm really struggling figuring out if he could beat Ohio State.
I was going to say, don't get me down this road, because Philly people right now are already in enough hot water making fun of fat white Europeans. There's like an ongoing war between Sixers Twitter and Denver Twitter after Friday night's game. So
the podcast you did with TJ has just not bridged your differences whatsoever.
You know, I think I'm one of the few people who likes Jokic in spite of his size, or I'm not bothered by him being like not as cut as everyone else. Because whatever, if he's effective, he's effective. But
right.
If you guys haven't been following, spare yourself, because it's been a disaster ever since that game.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But yes, it's surprising to see Luka Doncic, who was a professional putting up unprecedented numbers at the age of 16, having success in the NBA. Whoever could have seen that coming?
I know. I've been loving the comments recently from a lot of Twitterers going, wow, he came out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah. If you ignore international basketball, yes, he did not play in the NCAA. So, sure, he came out of nowhere.
So I just realized something. Last night, he actually played his 82nd career game, which is a full NBA season, because he missed 10 games last year. So now he's had 82 games for his career. And when you look at those numbers, like, let's assume for a second that was his rookie year. He would be averaging 22 points, over 8 rebounds, and over 6 assists. And having knocked down 196 threes in technically his rookie season over his first 82 games.
Man.
God, that's... Man, I mean, look, I knew coming in he would be good, but oh wow.
Yeah. This good, this quickly. It's impressive.
But we'll talk more about him later, though.
Yeah. We need to start with the New York Knicks, who deserve...
That's why I want to start it on a positive note, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. Because, oh man. So, the New York Knicks, speaking of Luka and Kristaps, they ruined Kristaps' revenge game because one of their two wins of the season came Friday. They beat the Mavs in Dallas 106-102. They return home Sunday at Madison Square Garden, the mecca of basketball, to lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers by 21 points. After the game... Before the coaches or players or whoever are available to the media, team president Steve Mills and the general manager Scott Perry come out and give a press conference where they basically say they're disappointed in the team's performance. The exact quote from Mills is, "Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team is not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected to perform at, and that's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering the product on the floor." So, naturally, that led to a ton of people making fun of them because, again, we've said this repeatedly and we're going to continue saying it, especially this episode, this was so foreseeable coming into the year. So then... Adrian Wojnarowski and Malika Andrews of ESPN on Monday report that even before that news conference, Mills had started to lay the internal groundwork for the eventual dismissal of coach David Fizdale. And here is the key takeaway or gem from this report. Quote, "Mills is selling owner James Dolan on a roster constructed to be highly competitive in the Eastern Conference. What?
I shouldn't be laughing. Yeah. No, I shouldn't be laughing. That's because I feel bad for Knicks fans. This is one of those situations where the Knicks once again proved to be the only team in the NBA who seemed to not realize what everyone else is realizing about them.
Right.
The fact that they believe that they have a high ceiling, the fact that they believe that they could somehow pivot after trading Kristaps and just failing in free agency and kind of make like a seamless transition, that was always faulty. And the only team to not recognize that was them.
Yeah.
It's a complete lack of internal insights and, you know, a realization of what you are as a team or as a foundation and as an organization. And again, we have to look at ownership, right? Or sorry, governorship.
Yeah, whatever it's called.
All right, well, we need to figure that out in NBA, yeah. By the way, like there's so many terms floating around right now, I can't figure it out. But overall, this is an organization that has been, you know, outside of a small bump during the Carmelo era, where they made the playoffs two times. I want to say, was it twice?
I know they at least they advanced past the first round once, and that's when they lost to the Pacers.
Correct.
Actually, they made it three times in a row, but they lost.
Well, there you go. Okay, I take everything bad back. Wow, Knicks, three playoff appearances in what?
Since 2004-2005.
So there we go.
15 years.
Yeah, upper elite team right there. No, but there's drama surrounding this team all the time. I'm not sure what type of expectations they thought were realistic.
Right.
Coming into the they were clearly hoping for Kyrie or KD or making a trade for Anthony Davis. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many Knicks fans I saw this year, you know, basically lay out the plan and firmly believe that not only would they sign both Kyrie and KD, but they would have not enough trade ammunition to go for Anthony Davis. So right. This year's roster would be all three of those guys.
Right. Well, because they were going to win the lottery, get Zion, and then trade
And
back.
Also, that's exactly right. Yeah, the Zion lottery.
Right.
And right now, their best player is Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No, we should. That's the point. Should.
Yeah, like we probably should.
Their expectations were just so out of whack if they really sold Dolan on being competitive. And I understand why Mills is doing it. It's self-preservation on his end. Because if Dolan's looking at this team and is thinking Fizdale isn't the problem, well, then it's probably the guy who assembled this roster, which means that puts Mills and Perry on the chopping block. So they're just looking for a scapegoat. But David Fizdale is not the reason this team sucks. He's one of them. I'm not saying David Fizdale is perfect. Like, his rotations dating back to last year have been woefully inconsistent, and it's just hard for players. You know, how many times have you heard players saying, like, I just want to know what my role is? Or, like, correct. When I'm coming, if I'm a starter every night or if I'm coming off the bench every night, it's like they're creatures of habit. You know, it takes so many years of repetition to get to this point that they just want to know, all right, cool, I'm going to be coming off the bench at the six-minute mark or whatever in the first quarter, and I'm going to play until the second, you know, into the second quarter, and then I'm going to be out, and then blah, 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 blah. Like, they can know what to expect, mentally prepare themselves for it. Fizdale has not been great about doing that. It just makes it tough for them, for players to develop chemistry with one another, if they're playing with a bunch of different teammates, you know, like a bunch of different combinations every night.
Right.
That said, who thought it was a good idea to sign four power forwards in one summer? It wasn't David Fizdale.
Oh, you mean outside of the one guy who were in our mentions after a podcast for like 3 days?
Yeah.
Who argued that Marcus Morris, he was clearly a shooting guard?
Right. Well, okay. He has to be in this Knicks lineup. Because they don't have room. They only have power forwards. And they got off to a brutal start this year because Elfrid Payton has missed a bunch of time. Dennis Smith Jr. has been out since late October to mourn the death of his stepmother. He should be returning somewhat soon, I think. He's back with the team. So that will help, because right now they only have Frankie Smokes as their lone nominal point guard, and he isn't really a point guard, or he's better suited in an off-ball role. So
I don't even know if that's true. Here's the thing. I'll say it right off the bat here. I don't know what type of player Frank Ntilikina is. Yeah. I have no idea, because he plays with the Knicks.
Right.
Like, I have no idea what he can turn into if he goes to a good system.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think regardless, if he went anywhere else, he would be better than what he's shown so far.
Right.
I mean, we saw it in the FIBA World Cup. He looked significantly better there than he did on the Knicks, because the Knicks are a tire fire.
Right.
So, I understand why Mills and Perry are doing it. But I think you're right. Like, ultimately, this goes back beyond Fizdale, beyond them. It goes to Dolan. And until he realizes, like, the comments that Kevin Durant made, you know, he was on a radio interview in early October, and he basically said he didn't even realistically consider the Knicks. And he said, like, you know, a lot of fans look at the Knicks as a brand, they expect these younger players, don't remember the Knicks being good. I didn't grow up with the Knicks. I've seen the Knicks in the finals, but kids coming up after me didn't see that. So that whole brand of the Knicks is, to them, is not as cool as, let's say, the Golden State Warriors or even the Lakers and the Nets right now. Mm-hmm. That should have been a wake-up call to the Knicks, who pinned their entire, like, multi-year plan on siding Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this summer. They traded away Kristaps Porzingis because they needed to clear out cap room. They got to get rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee, and it freed up enough spots for two max salary guys. And at the time, everyone's reaction was, oh, wow, they're really confident that they're getting KD and Kyrie, because otherwise you do not trade away Kristaps Porzingis for the chance. Like, you better be damn certain that you're going to get these two players, two star caliber players. And instead, they go to the Nets, and the Knicks, they do this. I mean, like, we said they can't be faulted because they didn't sign Joakim Noah to a 4-year contract again. Like, it was an upgrade that they only limited to these 2-year deals with, like, a second year team option or lightly guaranteed money in the
high
second
bar
year.
Right there.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't ruin their salary cap sheet for the next 4 years, but they still didn't maximize the way they could use it. Like, Mo Harkless got dumped on the Clippers. Mo Harkless, who was a productive player, the Clippers got him and a first-round pick just to take him on for $11 million. Would the Knicks not be better taking on Mo Harkless and a pick instead of having money to sign Marcus Morris late in the summer when he was already agreed to the Spurs?
Are you asking me whether that would be better than signing Taj Gibson to a 2-year, $20 million deal and then playing him 14 minutes a night? Yes.
It's just, and you saw this coming. That's the point that should just be hammered home repeatedly. When you sign this many players who play the same position, there were obviously not going to be enough minutes to go around. So now you're forcing things like Julius Randle to play the 5, Bobby Portis to play the 5, Marcus Morris to play the 3, Kevin Knox, who might be a 4, to play the 3, or to even play the 2 probably. Like, you're not allowing the guys who you need to develop, Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett, they're being buried behind a bunch of mercenary veterans who know they're not in the long-term plans. Aside from Randall. Randall is young enough, he probably assumes, like, he could be in the long-term plans. But, like, Taj Gibson, there is no illusion that Taj Gibson is going to be a long-term factor for the New York Knicks. They signed these guys to trade them.
Just before we lash into them even further, I think it's really important that we just mention that good on the guys for getting that money, though.
Oh, hell,
like,
yeah.
That's not the issue here. Like, no. We don't blame any of the players for taking that money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's from a team-oriented perspective. Like, why would you pay those deals? Like, good for all those guys, but man, it was all illogical from day one, as you said.
Right. And I think it was, part of it was when you trade Kristaps and strike out like that on KD and Kyrie, I feel like the Knicks were just in scramble mode, and they're like, oh God, we just need to sign any veteran with a remotely big name left, and we can, like, gaslight our fans into believing that we're going to be a competitive team. But they weren't going to be. It was Vegas had their odds, their over-under was in the 20s. Like, every projection system projected them to be one of the worst teams in basketball this year. What is happening to them is not a surprise to anyone outside of Madison Square Garden. So, I just don't know what the answer is, aside from, like, the Knicks need to stop thinking that they have an advantage because they're the Knicks. They don't. They need, I mean, it took, the Lakers were horrible for multiple years, and they needed to accumulate a bunch of high lottery picks. They needed LeBron James to want to move to LA, and then they were able to flip those high lottery picks for Anthony Davis. And now they've turned themselves around. But unless a superstar really wants to move to New York, in which case he'll probably just sign with the Nets, as KD and Kyrie did, they're not going to get a star free agent, because no superstar free agent is going to tie their fate to the Knicks. So they need to act like a Utah Jazz or a Portland Trailblazers and assume that you're not going to get a superstar free agent. Figure out ways to maximize your cap space. Use salary dumps. Take advantage of salary dumps. You have so much money next summer. There is no one worth signing to a big contract next summer, with very few exceptions. So take on bad money, get more picks, act like a small market franchise, prove that you could be run competently for a couple of years, and then you might get back into the mix. But until then, you're just going to suck and continue to suck because you think that you're the Knicks and that, like, everyone is going to bow down to your supremacy and the aura of, oh, we're the greatest franchise in the NBA. No.
The Mecca.
You suck. You suck and you continue to suck.
I think, ultimately, you said that there was nothing to do. I disagree with that because there is something you could do, but it's a complete overhaul. It's an organization overhaul that requires new ownership as well.
Right, like force Dolan to sell the team.
Exactly. Just basically a complete Los Angeles Clippers situation.
Yeah. It's not a coincidence that the Clippers immediately got competently run when Donald Sterling left and Steve Ballmer came in.
There's a reason that Danny LeRoe of The Athletic keeps saying ownership is the biggest advantage in sport. Like, good ownership is the biggest advantage in sport. And I've repeated that sentence, and I've given him credit like 5 million times over the past few years. We really need to get him on the pod at some point and just talk about it.
Yeah.
But really, this is what it comes down to. You also look at it's not just the Knicks. You look at the Suns, right? I know that right now they're – Suns fans think that they're the next coming of, you know, the 1996 Chicago Bulls. But Robert Sarver is an owner who has not led a stable franchise for many, many years. The Chicago Bulls, another major city, major market team that operates, like you ironically said, like a small market team, but and are like the Knicks, players don't want to come there. Like, high-quality superstar players, they don't want to come there because they know that there's drama surrounding the organization all the bloody time.
Yeah.
The same was with the Knicks, the Lakers back in the day, as you alluded to, before, you know, Jeannie Buss took over and really, what was her brother's name? Jim? Was it Jim Buss?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Who was just running that franchise into the ground.
Right.
Like, you just, at some point, you need to realize, oh, the problem is not with my, you know, coach or general managers. The problem is with me.
Right.
You know, the man or woman, the CEO of the whole thing, the owner, the governor, whatever the hell you want to call it. And unless I change, then nothing changes. I mean, look, again, I'm going to again point to the Bulls where you give management lifetime contracts.
Yeah.
Like, why? When they're clearly not good at it.
Yeah.
And with the Lakers, where it's high on nepotism, and it really took Jeannie, you know, getting away from all that, saying, okay, you know what? This is a business. We got to put family second and not first anymore.
Yeah.
And that's how we get a quality product back on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
This is simply about recognizing and identifying what is right for your business / team.
Yeah.
And that doesn't start with, oh, let me fire the general manager. Oh, let me fire the coach. Oh, let me trade this player X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Starts with your ass that sits in the big chair.
Yeah.
And there are so many teams out there that could be significantly better if ownership was better.
Right.
But here's the dirty little secret. When an organization is owned by some, look, let's just say it, like predominantly old white men billionaires,
mm-hmm.
who have found success in life by hammering their points home and like being very likely nasty in the business field and mm-hmm. having to really break some bones and club some skulls. That approach doesn't work with basketball.
Right.
It's a nuanced league. It's a delicate league. You have to deal with player egos. You have to deal with agent-player relationships and agent and general manager relationship. You have to be subtle. You have to handle things way more carefully. You can't come rushing in and go, well, I'm the owner and everything I say goes because this is how it's supposed to be. No, you're in a league where it's a unified league. It's you play by the same rules. Everyone have the same, you know, the same. I don't even know what to call it, but like you have the salary cap, so everyone is on a somewhat level playing field. I realize the market does come into the equation, but like everyone has the same, technically, the same amount of money to spend. The draft doesn't discriminate. Like it's not football where Real Madrid and Barcelona can buy whoever the hell they want, and then the lesser Spanish teams, they can go to hell. Mm-hmm. Like there is parity. There's the word I was looking for, on a certain level, and owners who come in and feel like that doesn't apply to us, like the Knicks with James Dolan, we're the Knicks, we're the maker of basketball, we can do whatever the hell. No, you can't, and that's why you suck. That's why your organization is one of the biggest jokes, not just in the NBA, but in global sports.
Yeah.
Global sports. Look, even here in country-ass Denmark, people are laughing at the Knicks.
As well they should.
Everyone. Yes, everyone globally is laughing at the Knicks. Look, you don't know how many Danish, Swedish, Norwegian people reach out to me and just go, I'm a Knicks fan. What should I do?
Amnesty.
Amnesty. I've been saying that. Like, look, there are a lot of good teams right now. Look, I used to be a Bulls fan. I still have some sort of affinity towards them because, again, 22 years of my life. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you something. The arrival of Luka Doncic has made that so much easier for me to just, oh, the Bulls suck? Let me go watch a Mavs game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think ultimately you're right. Like, until Dolan needs to hire the right people and then just hands off. And it needs to be a multi-year plan. It needs to be similar. I'm not saying they need to do exactly what Sam Hinkie did with the Sixers, but they need to set realistic expectations. And they need to
define
go
define hands off, though, because he is, like, from a working perspective, he is hands off. His problem is he's throwing, you know, he's banning people from the garden. He's getting into skirmishes with Charles Oakley.
I just think they need to be transparent and say, like, we know we suck. We're going to suck for a couple of years, but just trust us, and we're going to get good at some point. But we're not going to rush this thing. Like, every time they just try to rush it, they need to just accept that's not going to happen. And they need to just take a step back and say, look, we have some promising young players. We have RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle. That could be something. Be patient with us because we're not going to sign a bunch of ill-fitting veterans. We're going to just be smart about the way we use our cap space. We're not going to promise you in 2021 that we're going to sign Giannis or LeBron or Paul George or Kawhi because we're not. We're not going to get any of those players, most likely. We're just going to be smart and build around our young guys.
The biggest telling factor here for me is, if I ask you the question, is RJ Barrett a Nick in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
The very fact that you'll be like, maybe? Instead of saying, oh, of course, like with a lot of other franchises when you have a very good young player, like we realistically do not know, because the Knicks could totally see an angle where they go, oh, let's move Barrett for a more established player, even though they definitely shouldn't.
I mean, the fact that Kristaps Porzingis is not a Knick currently
exactly
suggests no one is safe.
Right. And Mitchell Robinson, like, look, some team out there could look at his low minutes total eventually, if this keeps, you know, going on, and offering the Knicks, and they could offer the Knicks like a big minutes player and just go, hey, you know what? Here's an established guy that who will improve your team immediately. You won't have to, you know, play, you know, Mitch like 17, 18 minutes a game. Here's a guy you can count on for 35, whatever. Yeah. And then that other team who gets Mitchell Robinson turns him into a freaking all-star.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see it. You can totally see it, right? It's just, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Mitchell Robinson, he's still raw, but he's really good. The talent's there.
He's super raw, but he should still be playing 10 more minutes a game.
Right, of course. Because the Knicks are bad, and that's what you should do. Right. Play your young guys. Let them develop. But instead, they signed a bunch of guys who played at their positions and need to boost their trade value ahead of the trade deadline. So, like, I really think after February, after the trade deadline, after they ship out some of these guys, the Knicks might not be as embarrassing for the final 2 months of the season. But between now and then, they're going to be a dumpster fire because that's just who they are. And they're probably going to fire Fizdale, and they're probably going to struggle to bring in a reputable head coach, although I saw Mark Jackson's name tied to them, which is hilarious. At this point...
This is what I'm talking about,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Like, this is going to be... This is... You know what? I'm coining a term. If you do something that is obviously dumb, and you do it anyway, you know what you're pulling?
A Knicks?
You're pulling a Jabari. Because that's what the Bulls did. Yeah, they signed Jabari and decided to play him at the three. Everyone knew it wouldn't go well. And half a season in, they realized, oh, maybe this isn't going well. Let's trade him. So from here on, henceforth, Brian, I officially deem it the Jabari.
I just don't know why the Kings have a Kangs moniker and the Knicks don't have like a Knicks.
No, you know what? It's because you have to just spell Nick. You know, the K should be lowercase.
Yeah.
And then N should be like uppercase, and then switch it around. Yeah, it's just be just, like a little kid spelling it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And the S should be on the other way. It should be reverse.
Right. Yep. There's got to be something because it's just gone on for too long. And like, the best part is Knicks fans aren't even going to be mad listening to this. They're just going to be nodding in silent agreement. Because they know it's right. Like,
yeah.
It's obvious to your fans. Your fans want something better. Give it to them.
And if the guy who got us in our mentions for 3 days straight listens, dude, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, right. He might be the one person who pushes back.
Sorry. And I don't mean to call out a listener, but dude, it was 3 days.
Right.
They suck. Marcus Morris is not a two guard. Stop it.
All right, with all of that said, let's get into some injuries briefly, because we had a trio.
That's better news, I guess.
Yeah, well, so Gordon Hayward broke his hand against the San Antonio Spurs. He is out 6 weeks, which likely puts him back around Christmas. The Celtics have been very good to start the season. They are 8-1 atop the East. They have won 8 straight games since losing to the Sixers in their season opener. Kemba Walker's been... You know, he caught fire, basically. He was terrible in that first game, and he's been great ever since. Jaylen Brown looks vastly improved. Jason Tatum, other than his 1-for-18 stink bomb last night, has been pretty good, too. Do you think they're going to be able to stay close to the top of the East, sans Hayward?
You're putting me in quite the pickle, because if I say yes... Then I'm basically alluding to the fact that I don't think Hayward carries a lot of importance, and he clearly does.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say no, Boston fans will interpret it as me not believing in Tatum and Brown, which I do, especially this year, because they've come out looking like gangbusters. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think they'll take a smaller drop back, but I think they'll still be relevant each and every night.
Yeah.
What you hope for is the supporting cast just... taking care of those, you know, the missing 19.7 rebounds and 4 assists. My God, he's been good.
Very good.
He's been very good. So you need to find that production both on the bench and, like, in the current starting unit. Maybe you give Robert Williams, a.k.a. Time Lord, a little bit more run. Mm-hmm. I love the way that he just gets up and down the floor. Like, he's so quick. So maybe you push people a little bit down. Like, maybe Tatum takes over the small forward position a little bit more. And you play Time Lord at one of the big positions. Grant Williams is another case who can come in. I mean, overall, I think they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would be surprised if they didn't take just a little dip, because who's their playmaker now then? only Kemba and then to some extent Marcus Smart, I guess.
Right.
You need a little bit more. I mean, already they're 23rd in assists per game, and you're taking away probably the best passer on the team. I know that he's not leading the team in assists, but I think it's fair to say that Gordon Hayward, just in terms of raw ability, is the best passer on mm-hmm. that team. Mm-hmm. So now you need to figure out how to survive that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you said it well. Hayward's been great to start the season, so this really sucks. Like, you all know I hate the Celtics, but I like individual players, and it has been great to see him get off to such a hot start especially after you know, being so inconsistent last year as he came back from the ankle injury. So from that perspective, this sucks. But yeah, I mean, Brown and Tatum have both been great to start the year. Kemba has just been exactly what you expected out of him. So I mean, yes, this hurts them, but I don't think it is a devastating injury to the extent that, you know, they're going to slip down out of the playoff race.
No.
You know, they have Washington tomorrow, which should be an easy win. Then they have a 5-game road trip coming up: Warriors, Kings, Suns, Clippers, Nuggets. You know, Warriors are also injury ravaged. The Kings we'll get to a little bit later, but they're dealing with a significant injury as well now. So they have a bunch of winnable games coming up.
They could go 4-0 the next four ones.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I think at worst they're probably going 3-1.
Right. So I mean, they're on an 8-game winning streak, and like we talked about the last time, momentum means a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
So I mean,
and it's not like they've beaten the Knicks twice, but they've also beaten Toronto, Milwaukee, the Spurs, Dallas. Yep. Like they've beaten some good teams. So yeah. It sucks, but it's not the end of the world. And, like, thankfully, it's not worse. You know, when I heard broken hand and when the word metacarpal started flying around, it was like, oh, God, is this a Steph Curry situation? Like, is he going to be out 3 months, if not longer? So, thankfully, it is not. Thankfully, he will be back relatively soon. But it is unfortunate. And best wishes to Gordon Hayward. It would suck if he comes back and this, like, affects his, you know, play in any way, just because it's been great to see him get back into the, like, he looks like all-star Gordon Hayward again.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. And I think, you know, I kind of doubted whether he would return to that level. I thought he would definitely be better than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this has looked like, you know, prime all-star Gordon Hayward. And I don't think I anticipated him reaching that level so soon this season. I thought, you know, he would maybe spend the first month or two just getting acclimated to being fully healthy, because there's a lot of like smaller processes that you need to go through, and he just came out like, y'all, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. And you know, have you told me before the season that Gordon would be averaging 19 points a game, Kemba would be netting 25, like, and then tell me that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown would both be sitting at around 20.
Mm-hmm.
I would have told you to, you know, screw off, because Jesus, that's a high quality scoring for top four.
Yeah. I mean, as you alluded to, the issue is like, it's similar to how I feel about the Mavericks. You've got that top four now without, you know, you have Tatum, Walker, Smart, Jaylen Brown. Where are you getting the help beyond that? And I don't know that there's going to be a consistent option every night. I mean, also, Enes Kanter has missed a ton of time. I think he's only played 2 games so far this year.
Correct.
So when he comes back, maybe that's the answer. But otherwise, I mean, you're gonna need a little bit more from your supporting cast with Hayward out. But just because they don't have, you know, they don't have like name brand guys, but that doesn't mean these guys aren't capable of giving them something off the bench.
Oh, hell yeah. I would extend Carson Edwards minutes in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's going to get cooked on defense probably, but the kid's an absolute 3-point flamethrower.
Have you seen him play after he cut off his dreads, by the way?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, makes his calves look even bigger.
Oh, really? I watched the Celtics Mavericks game last night. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. He did not. He only played 5 minutes last night and had.
Yeah, no, he, I mean, dude, I'm not kidding you. Look, those calves look like twice the size that they did before, just because he cut off his dreads.
Interesting. right.
Like, that dude's legs are just jacked.
This is like an ESPN body issue in podcast form.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
All right, boy, let's go to another notable injury in the East. Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks suffered, I believe, what is being termed a contusion and is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks.
Just as I have Milwaukee Bucks tickets on the 18th.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the bright side, you're going to have Giannis now in full Destroyer of World form.
That is true, but we have been standing for Chris Middleton on this podcast for years.
Yeah, we have been, yeah. Yeah. He'll probably travel with the team, maybe.
Yeah.
You can see him in a suit.
Chris, me sitting up in the 300 levels. Chris!
Yeah.
I've been standing on you!
Right. We believe in you! You deserve the $170 million!
No, okay, but that's a good silver lining. You know, Giannis is going to take over. I can work with that.
Right. I mean, yeah, we haven't talked enough about Giannis this year. He's averaging 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists a game.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, I've just been waiting for the right moment to bring him up.
Yeah, I know Middleton, you know, second on the team in scoring, 18.5 points a game, been his usual efficient self, 46.8 from the field, 39.3 from three. This is a big loss for them, especially because they don't have Malcolm Brogdon as that number two option.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
going to burn them.
But I just think Giannis is going to... I didn't think 29, 14, and 7 was a possible thing to average over 10 games. And only 33 minutes, too. Like,
I would like for you to go down to his per 36 numbers and look at the last year he played under Jason Kidd.
Oh,
and then
God.
This year, this second year, under Mike Budenholzer.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
That is absurd improvement. Look, I get that per 36 numbers are skewed as hell. I get it.
Yeah.
But look, he went from 26 points and 9.8 rebounds to 32 points and almost 16 rebounds.
Yeah.
Per 36.
Yeah.
His assists numbers jumped from 4.7 and they just flip places to 7.4. This dude increased his PER from 27 to 33. No, almost 34, actually.
God. That's outrageous.
We're talking about Pascal Siakam as a double most improved player.
Mm-hmm.
I get that Giannis won that award as well in 2017.
Yeah.
But he has not gotten enough recognition for what he's done after the coaching change.
No. No. Well, I mean, he won MVP last year.
Yeah, he did, but I mean, I get that, but just in terms of, the raw improvement level.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
I get that there was talk about him winning the MIP. I kind of shut it off because, hey, he's going to win MVP, but I'm looking back and saying, Mort, you idiot, he should have won it.
Yeah, well, I'm just happy to have picked him as MVP coming into the year because Steph Curry is now completely out. Like,
yep,
he's going to win.
I'm losing that money for
sure. Yeah, he is 100% going to win MVP if he keeps this up because he's just been phenomenal. And now without Middleton, he's going to have to do even more, which is, you know, it's terrifying to think that he could. But I have every faith in the world that he will.
So here's a sick stat. Giannis right now is shooting a career low from the free throw line. He's only shooting at 64.5%.
Uh-huh.
When he starts knocking those down,
yeah,
because he's taking 11 this year.
Yep.
That's going to add like at least a point or two to his scoring average. And he's at 30.
Yeah.
He is going to have, ultimately, in my opinion, when this season is over, we're going to look back at the 2019-2020 season, and we're going to see in historic performance, like one of those all-time season-long stat lines that you remember 30 years from now.
I mean, I thought last year was that, and he's been better this year.
Correct. He wasn't kidding about the 60%, man.
I guess not. He's only 24. He doesn't turn 25 until December. Like, he is just, in theory, just entering his athletic prime.
Man. Look, my brother is roughly his age.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to sit all game long and just say, look, look at what Giannis is doing at age 24. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Why aren't you out there making $170 million or whatever? No, he was on... Oh, yeah, right. He's underpaid. He only signed for $100 million. Yeah. Right.
But not for long. Something tells me he's going to make a ton more money.
Probably. Oh, you know what? Can we just circle back real quick to the Knicks in this? You mentioned Giannis.
Yeah, because I'm sure they're going to sell their fans on, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to get Giannis now.
Right. So if you're Giannis, you play for a team that has... You know, the coach that just makes your game fit so well.
Right.
You have an organization that empowers you and puts the right players alongside you, Malcolm Brogdon notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they're consistently, at least this year, last year and probably this year as well, and in the years to come, like a finals contender.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you leave that to sign with the Knicks?
Well, because they're going to hire Masai Ujiri. Did you see that?
Oh, right. Why would... And I can ask the same thing about Masai Ujiri. Why would Masai Ujiri, who works for Toronto Raptors, who are notoriously known for... notorious, that's a bad word. But they're known for actually compensating their staff, mm-hmm. not just their players, but their staff, extremely well compared to the rest of the league. They have given him carte blanche to do whatever the hell he wants. He won a championship there.
Right.
So again, why would you leave all that to work for James Dolan?
Money, I guess, in theory.
But if you're an executive, though...
Yeah, no.
Like, you know that as soon as you go to the Knicks...
Yep.
And it inevitably blows up there, your career is at least 50% done.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's completely... I mean, we'll hit Giannis's future, I'm sure, a bunch this year, and I don't want to get too far into it now. But... I mean, with Middleton out, it's just going to be the Giannis show, and hopefully Eric Bledsoe a little bit more. I mean, he's been okay to start the season, but he's just going to need to take a bigger role as that official de facto number two option. Brooke Lopez has been sneaky, not great so far this year.
Yeah, I think we saw that coming a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember when he signed that deal. You and I were talking. I don't think we recorded it, but I think we were like, "Well, that he had a pretty good year. I'm gonna have a tough time seeing how he could replicate that."
Right. Right. I mean, he's shooting only 38.6 from the field, so hopefully that
under
goes
30
up.
From three. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is, he's always been kind of a mediocre rebounder, but playing him next to Giannis really mitigates that specific concern. So that's a win.
I would say, and Middleton. Like, Middleton was averaging 5.7 rebounds just 30 minutes a game. So, there are those guys. Eric Bledsoe as well.
Right. I mean,
Jesus, what a season he's having right now. Like, if you look at the raw stat line for Bledsoe, like the 16.6 rebounds and 5 assists, you're thinking, oh, okay, that's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize he's doing it in 26 minutes per game,
that
just changes stuff.
Yeah, for sure. This is really, I think, where they're going to miss Brogdon the most. And I hate to harp on it because I know it's going to be a sore spot for Bucks fans all year. And again, thankfully, this is not a long-term issue for Middleton. He'll be out 3 to 4 weeks, which, even if it's like Boston and they fall a little bit down the standings, I mean, luckily their next 6 or 7 games are all... Well, not Utah, but 6 games are all pretty winnable versus Chicago, at Indiana, at Chicago, at Atlanta without John Collins, versus Portland, who has a ton of front court injuries of their own, versus Detroit. Then they have Utah, Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, New York, Detroit again. Like,
oh my God, they could go on a huge winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, that's if Middleton was going to have to get hurt. Like, if you were guaranteeing that he was going to miss 3 to 4 weeks at some point this season, you probably could not have chosen a better stretch of the season for him to get hurt. So,
by the way, is this where I should complain to the NBA? Because I bought tickets to a game and Chris Middleton isn't playing. What the hell?
Well, it's not load management. It's an actual injury.
It doesn't matter. Like, right? Isn't that the be-all argument from people who are against the load management? I paid tickets to watch a player play.
Yeah.
Isn't that the argument?
To watch a star play.
Yeah. That's the argument. I paid X amount of dollars to watch this guy play.
Right.
Okay. Should you also get upset at injuries then?
I was trying to pay the Bucks for... I was trying to give $20 to the Bucks for Chris Middleton's contract. I'm trying to pay. It's like a GoFundMe for his contract.
But, I mean, the point is just so dumb because I get that the other, like, load management, that's just injury prevention.
Yeah.
So if you're a guy or a family or whatever who have season tickets and you go there regularly, like, yeah, you're going to get more bang for the buck if the guy misses a game because of load management.
Right.
Like,
right,
instead of a guy missing several months. I just think it's so dumb. Like, I'll send an email to like, the league office and say, hey, you know what? I actually bought these tickets and I wanted to see Chris Mills and I want a discount.
Can you just send an email, like, showing how much you paid for the tickets and then how much less they're going for right now? NBA. Your dynamic pricing model is not acceptable to me.
I checked up on it last night.
Don't do it.
I really shouldn't have. Yeah. Because it's decreased even more. I am basically paying 100% of... 100 additional percent of what I could get.
Yeah, it's 100% markup for sure.
don't. I was having a good day, Brian.
I'm sorry. Well, let's pivot to the last notable injury from Monday. De'Aaron Fox, who suffered an ankle sprain in practice. It's a grade 3 sprain for him, according to Jason Jones of The Athletic. So he's going to be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks, but Sham Sharani of The Athletic said they will be cautious with his recovery and return. So I don't think he's coming back in 3 to 4 weeks. I think it's going to be longer than that.
Yep, do too. But, I mean, hey, here's a good thing. They paid $37 million for Corey Joseph.
Yep.
Yay! More Corey Joseph.
Yep. So they do have him, and they have Yogi Ferrell as their other option.
Who needs De'Aaron Fox then?
So, you know, we were obviously, like, Boston and Milwaukee are going to miss Hayward and Middleton respectively, but it's not going to kill their season. This one I'm worried about if I'm the Kings.
This one might kill. You're worried about 23% from downtown Corey Joseph playing starters minutes?
I'm worried about the best player on that team missing at least 3 to 4 weeks, but probably a lot longer than that, knowing that your upcoming stretch includes Portland, Lakers, Celtics, Suns, Nets, Wizards, Celtics, Sixers, Nuggets.
Yeah.
Like, this might be lights out for the Kings.
There's only one silver lining here. More shot attempts, hopefully, for Bogdan Bogdanović. That's true. Literally the only silver lining I can find.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one, look, we've been harping on the Kings' pace. They're 27th right now, which is just beyond.
Is Luke Walton bad?
He might be. I'm starting to think, especially... I mean, you're not. It would be unfair to compare the Lakers of last year to the Lakers of this year, given the amount of turnover. But, and, like, who knows? You know, maybe LeBron needed that season last year to come in motivated this year and to get the rest he needed after 8 straight finals runs. But seeing the way they've started this year and seeing the way the Kings have started, I'm more lukewarm on the Luke Walton hiring than I expected to be, honestly.
I am too. I thought he would be one of those, like, new age great coaches, and, like, he doesn't even have a 40% winning percentage.
No, I mean, they're 28th in assists, 25th in steals, 22nd in blocks, 29th in rebounds. It's, like, hard to find something that the Kings do well.
They foul a lot.
Yeah, right. That is about it. So that's great, but I get they take a decent number of threes. But, like,
I guess, yeah. I found something that they're really good at. They are second in the league in least 2-point field goal attempts.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. That's something, but
unfortunately. unfortunately, they're 27th in shooting percentage from 2-point.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're second to last in the league in allowing, you know, percentage-wise, 2-point field goal percentage. They're allowing 56.4% shooting from inside the arc. Oh, and they're also allowing 38% from the field and almost 50 overall. So, yeah, no, that's not bad.
Yeah,
no,
I'm sure losing their starting point guard for probably a month or more is really going to help them in all of those categories.
Who's like a defensive-oriented guy. Yeah, right. That's Kangs.
Yeah, this sucks. And here's what I'm most dreading about this injury, because you know it's going to happen, and it's similar to the Knicks. They're going to make a panic move because of this.
Yeah, they are. I was just about to point that out. Yep.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they might have to trade Bogdanović ahead of the trade deadline anyway, because they're limited in what they could offer him in an extension. And
then they're going to deal with the Knicks.
For which point guard?
Pick. Elfrid Payton, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina. I mean, there are some guys there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the idea. I mean, I do hate the idea of them trading Bogdanović, but I understand why they would have to do it, because they committed so much financially to Buddy Hield and to Harrison Barnes, and De'Aaron Fox is coming up for an extension. Marvin Bagley is, you know, you at least have to start penciling money away from him as well. So Bogdanović is on the chopping block most likely, but I'm scared that they're going to make a panic trade with him.
But here's the thing, though. If you know that if this was, you know, let's say they knew that De'Aaron Fox would go down,
mm-hmm.
then they would have to feel that, you know, Corey Joseph, who's earning $12 million this year, $12 million, was able to step in and fulfill that role.
Yeah.
But clearly, he's not good enough to do that. So why the hell? And he's even putting up better numbers this year than he did last.
Yeah.
Like, what was... I don't know why we didn't see more people, you know, really attack the Kings for this contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw way more criticism being directed at Ricky Rubio and the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
I saw Corey Joseph and the Kings.
Yeah.
Why? That is an abhorrent contract.
Yeah, it's real bad. It's real bad.
If you have to, if it's only months after signing him, go out and find another point guard to overcome the loss of your starter?
Right.
Then that's an immediate admittance of fault or a mistake.
I mean, maybe they won't. Maybe Corey Joseph will step in and perform well as a starter, and maybe they won't panic trade Bogdanović. I just, knowing how the Kings tend to operate, I'm worried that they're going to.
I mean, I hope that Joseph figures out his way. I really used to like him.
Yeah.
And then he just never got better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this whole season has just been so unfortunate. With the Bagley injury, too, like, coming off of 39 wins last year, like, their fans had reason for genuine optimism more than they have in, like, a decade. And
man,
now
the Suns are going to have it rough next year.
I know. It's possible. It's just like, you know, when the snake bites you, all of a sudden things go off the rails pretty quickly. And unfortunately for the Kings, it seems like it's just going to be that type of a year for them. So hopefully Fox could get healthy quickly, but, like, I wouldn't rush him back.
No.
From the Kings. I mean,
No. His longevity is most important.
Yeah. Like, we'll see where they're at, you know, in a couple weeks, but just looking at that upcoming schedule, it's really hard to see more than a couple of wins. Like, at Washington, maybe. Home against the Bulls, maybe. But, like, other than that, especially without their starting point guard, like, they could well be 5-15 in a few weeks' time. And at that point, you know, you're probably far enough out of the playoff race that, yes, let De'Aaron Fox take as much time as he needs to recover, because you're not making up that type of ground. Just sucks.
Well, on that note,
well, there are two pieces of good news that I just saw on Twitter, which we can leave with. Paul George making his season return Thursday against the Pelicans, according
You're
to Chris
kidding.
Haynes. Yeah, Chris Haynes of Yahoo just reported it, so that's great.
Oh, man. See, this excites me and frustrates me to no end, because I'm on a plane. Hopefully we'll get into the hotel before. Oh, yeah, is it a home game for the Clippers?
I think it's a road game.
Against who? Sorry.
The Pelicans.
Okay. Maybe yeah. I can catch somebody when we get back to the hotel.
It starts at 7 p.m. Central Time.
Is it a national televised game?
It is not.
Oh. Because here's the thing. My League Pass does not work in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's one of the things. We actually have, and when I say we, I mean internationals, we have this thing that we can go to the source of the NBA, the United States of America, and we couldn't be further away from it because we can't watch games.
Well, but your League Pass is actually functional and ours isn't. So I get at least like five, my stream cuts out, and then I have to click on the thing again. And then sometimes it's like, nope, you actually don't have a subscription. And I'm like, I was literally just watching this game 5 seconds ago. I definitely do. And then you have to like close the app and restart it. And then sometimes it still tells you don't have a subscription. It's the worst. Fix League Pass. Well,
that issue we don't have.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a win. Also, I just saw Shams Charania report Victor Oladipo has been assigned to the G League affiliate Fort Wayne as he continues to make good progress from his knee injury. He's going
to
get practice.
I want him to play a game there.
He's going to get practice run today. Still no return timetable, but seems like he is inching closer to a return, which would help a Pacers team that has stayed surprisingly afloat without him.
No, I don't think it's that surprising. They're deeper now and much better offensively. I love them coming into the season. You know how high I was them on that.
Yeah.
I think people are sleeping on them. What would Victor Oladipo produce in a G League game? What kind of stat line would he put up?
What we were talking about with Giannis's per 36? Somewhere around there.
That sounds... Yeah, because, I mean, look, Denzel Valentine had who's like a very, very, very pedestrian bench player.
Uh-huh.
He just put up like 28 and 18 and like 7 in a G League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he would be sitting at like 52, 17, and 15 or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. He's going to be...
Oh, God.
Going to be a monster.
I want just once, to before he retires, I want LeBron to play a G League game. Like, at full speed. Just doesn't
amazing.
Matter.
Yeah. Oh, God, he would murder everyone.
I would love it. I would love to see what... I mean, look, just imagine the level of attention that would go to that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically been, like, his whole career has basically been him playing against G League players. The talent gap between him and most of the people he's played against, like him and J.R. Smith, those practices every day were just him versus
G League. I don't disagree. And now he would play against actual G Leaguers. I would love that.
Right.
That would be fantastic.
Right. So, yes, I'm glad we could end the episode on a happy note. George...
Well, we're not quite done, Brian, because there is one more happy note that I realized, and we haven't really talked about it.
What's that?
The 2020 draft prospects have gotten off to a very good start.
Oh. Well, that's good. Because I watch so much college basketball, I obviously know that.
Yeah. So, James Wiseman, obviously... from Memphis, there's some legal issues about eligibility and whatnot, blah blah blah, the NCAA being dumb as always, that is what it is, but he's been feasting when he's been played. Cole Anthony from North Carolina, like, started off by going for a ridiculous 34 points and 11 rebounds. He's a point guard, really explosive. He is going to draw so many Damian Lillard comparisons when he comes in. And I don't think they're necessarily wrong. He's the way that he moves, the way that he jumps, the way that he shoots the ball so easily. Like, he can shoot like standing still, coming off of screens, like pulling up from everywhere. He's one of those guys who's just got unlimited range. Mm-hmm. He's got ball handling. He's got a strong upper body, athleticism. Cole Anthony is going to be for real. I'm very excited. Like, the draft class coming in for this year. Oh, man, I think it would behoove teams to, if they're looking like they won't be good, maybe sell off a couple pieces and see if they can get it another first rounder. This draft would be good.
All right. Well, that's good to know. It's good news for Knicks fans.
Yeah, unless, of course, they take a bust.
Right, right. Or bury him behind 14 players who play the same position.
They are definitely going to draft a power forward. Absolutely.
They need him. You got to corner the market. They're like a fantasy owner that, like, in football, where you just draft, like, every running back. Because they're like, some of these guys are going to get hurt, and then you're going to need to call me. And I'm going to exploit you in the trade market.
Oh, my God. The worst thing is I can't even rule it out as a possibility.
I know. All right, that's enough Nick slander for one podcast. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We're going to take a little bit of a break because Mort is going to Chicago. He's going to be in the States for a little bit. So we're going to let him enjoy his family time there. He's going to get to see Giannis's world tour on Monday. Is that right?
The 18th. So that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, Mort, enjoy watching Giannis destroy your beloved Bulls.
I actually look forward to it. I'm just going to be that guy sitting in the 300 levels amongst a bunch of Bulls fans, like, wearing red and white, and I'm going to secretly with my little green flag, like, go Giannis.
Yeah,
go
Giannis. You totally should.
I really should. And the problem is my son is very conflicted because he loves Lauri Markkanen and he is a Bulls fan, but he also loves Giannis. So I think this is the best of both worlds. Very much looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to just going, you know, to binge on, you know, Chicago restaurants and sub shops and all that. Like, you've given a lot of recommendations, so we're looking forward to testing that out.
Yes, good luck with your arteries not clogging. It's difficult in Chicago after a couple days.
That is true. I think my wife is already preparing, like, a detox program for me when I come home.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll give you the best hospitals to go around.
Nice. Here's the thing. My younger brother, I showed him, like, the three major pizza places, like Giordano's, Gino's East, and Pequot's.
That too. But Lou Malnati's as well.
Which one?
Lou Malnati's.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I should add that one. But he was looking at you know, commercials and, like, YouTube videos and all that. And he was hooked on the Giordano's thing. And I remember your advice going, if you're going to eat Giordano's, make sure it's dinner and not lunch because you're ready to die afterwards because you're so stuffed.
Yep. Or just eat one slice. If you eat two slices, you're going to hate yourself.
See, that's the thing. I told him that, but this dude is taller than I am. He's I think 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
And he eats a lot. Like, you would think he's still, like, in the growing ages, but he's 24. So he'll undoubtedly order, like, a pizza for two.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. It's the hero play. When you go there the first time, you're like, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. And then you have one slice, and you're like, I think I could do a second. And then you have the second one, and you're like, I am sweating grease, and I think my stomach is going to explode. I need to go to a hospital, get my stomach pumped, or I'm going to die.
So I've already said that he's gonna end up asking for a doggy back.
Oh, yes. I would be very concerned if he didn't.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So very much looking forward to that. And, you know, I'll be back here next week. Thing is, I might be a little bit jet lagged, so I'm not quite sure when the next episode will come out, but probably in a little over a week.
Yeah, and I'm headed to a wedding this weekend as well. So we are both unavailable if any major news happens, but I promise we will get back to it belatedly next week. So in the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker. So check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. I'm just now realizing that obviously in the next week it's going to be loaded with NBA news, and people are not going to hear a peep out of us, and we're going to be sitting there just banging our heads against the table.
Inevitably. You can follow us on Twitter, where we could give our 280 character takes about how dumb
that
the Knicks
is.
True.
That is very true. We'll be very active there.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, man, and enjoy the wedding.
Yeah. Have fun in Chicago.
Thanks, man. Talk later.